Friends, the Lord be with you. In the name of all that is holy, welcome to worship here today at Rosedale. Whether you've been a regular here for ages, or perhaps you just wandered in by accident, whether you are young in your pram, or whether you're elderly with a cane, whether you are alone in the world, or maybe you have an enormous family or a big circle of friends, whether you are tall or short, skinny or plump, straight or gay, white, black, brown, or plaid, we are pleased that you are here today, and God is delighted that you are here. My name is Dan Benson. I'm filling in for a few weeks while Kristen is on her sabbatical and vacation time, and I'm here for today and next week. And of course, then after that, we will join our friends at Rosedale Presbyterian Church down the road for the month of August. Leading in worship today is myself, and Cadence and Lori are doing our music leadership. Lewis and Fabian and Tristan are helping with liturgy, and Ben is on tech. From the community and our family, do we have any announcements that we would like to share at this time? I can come up with a couple. After church, I'm going to really encourage you to join us through the hall here for lemonade and coffee for a few minutes of fellowship. I think we've got a little space at the back of the church for the kids. And a special welcome to our friends from Rosedale Presbyterian Church and anyone else who's joining us today for the first time. We acknowledge the land. In our mindfulness of creation and of the land, we know that we are visitors, guests even, in God's sacred creation. As visitors and guests, we acknowledge those who have come before us, the Huron-Wendat, the Haudenosaunee, the Mississauga of the New Credit, and the Seneca, who have for millennia tended and loved this land. May we tread softly in their footsteps, listen to their wisdom and teachings, and honor the land and its people in both truth and reconciliation. We sing, and our opening hymn is going to be number 382 in the Red Book, and it's Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Comfortable. Please be seated. I think Fabian, you're going to come and do our call to worship for us.
Thank you.
Right here.
Good morning. Beloved, the Spirit is alive, moving and at work amongst us, bringing us together in joy, comforting us in sorrow. The Spirit is waiting to be discovered amongst us, helping those bereaved, listening to those who are troubled. The Spirit is with the downhearted amongst us, as the voice of hope in the unspoken word of gentleness. The Spirit will not be ignored, rejected, or overcome, because amongst us the Spirit is true, inspiring, and eternal. Come, beloved, let us worship in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who blows through us, calling and free.
Friends, we greet one another with the name of Christ. And we do this not just as friends that know each other because we all belong to Rosedale or we're guests here or we're from Rosedale Presbyterian, but because we are Christians. And as Christians, we have this unique way of greeting one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ. And I'm going to invite Louis Fabien and Tristan to come and light our Christ candle. And the words, the responsive words are in your order of service.
In times of struggle, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In times of wonder, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In times of renewal, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In this time and place, and in all times and places, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. May the light of the Christ candle remind us of who we are and whose we are, the struggling, wondering, and renewing people of the way of Jesus. Amen.
And we have a sung response. I'll give you a second to find it. It's in More Voices 14. We sang this last week, so if it's a bit new, we're learning it that way. And we'll sing this three times.
Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Two or three are gathered in my name. I am there. I am there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. I am there.
Friends, will you join me in prayer? God of the small, still voice and the quiet center, how seldom we sit in silence, waiting, listening for your comfort and assurance, eager for the good news that will renew us. When we stand at that in-between place, the place between sea and shore, between coming and going, between giving and holding back. We need to listen carefully, thoughtfully, prayerfully for the good news that will renew us. When we yearn for a closer walk with you, when we long to see the signs of grace in a world that is all topsy-turvy, when we feel the pain of brokenness in ourselves and one another, we pause and we open our hearts, making space and time to be filled by your presence. Fill us with your presence and grace, O God, that we may share that presence and grace with one another and with the world. Loving God, you have made us in your image, perfect in likeness, but imperfect with our brokenness. In the things we have done and the things we have left undone, we have missed opportunities to be the disciples you would have us be. We have looked past the stranger in need, the friend in pain, and the outcast on the margins. We have turned away when we might have turned to, and thus made a difference. O God, we seek your understanding, forgiveness, and strength as we seek to fulfill your promise of a world where justice and peace, love and abundance are our daily joys. Listen, friends, to this good news. God is abundant in love, generous in grace, and relentless with forgiveness. And in such abundance, generosity, and relentless offering, what can we do? We can give thanks, we can accept it, we can embrace it, and then we offer it back into the world. So God's dream of creation goes brighter, stronger, and more true every day. And together, as the people of God, we can say, Amen. Let's try that one more time. And together, as the people of God, we can say, Amen.
Amen.
You got it. We have a gift of special music.
If we only have love, then tomorrow will dawn, and the days of our years will rise on that morn. If we only have love to embrace without fears, we will kiss with our eyes, we will sleep without tears. If we only have love, with our arms open wide, then the young and the old will stand at our side. If we only have love that's falling like rain, then the parched desert earth will grow green again. If we only have love for the hymns that we shout, for the song that we sing, if we only have love, we can reach those in pain. We can heal all our wounds. We can use our own names. If we only have love, we can melt all the guns. and then give the new world to our daughters and sons. If we only have love, then Jerusalem stands, and then death has no shadow. There are no foreign lands. If we only have love, we will never bow down. We'll be as tall as the pines, neither heroes nor clowns. If we only have love, then we'll only be men, and we'll drink from the grail to be born once again. Then nothing at all, but the little we are, we'll have conquered all time, all space, the sun and the stars.
Over these 3 weeks that I'm with you, we're stepping deeper into the Psalms. And so we only have one reading today, and that is Psalm 139. And Lewis is going to read that for us today. It's a long passage, and it isn't even the whole Psalm. So what I'm going to invite you to do is make yourself comfortable, because this will take a little while, and Lewis is going to do the reading for us. But make yourself comfortable. You might want to listen with your eyes closed, and just let yourself sink into the words.
Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me through and through. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you form my inward parts. You cover me in your mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought into the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them,
they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you.
Thank you, Lewis. I sometimes wonder if I have a very short attention span. You know, like little kids, maybe like Tristan. Kids who walk along and totally get distracted by a bug, or a dog, or a flower. Not a bad way to live, actually. Kids are always living in the moment, in the beauty and the wonder and the miracle of that moment. I say that I sometimes think I have a short attention span because this week, like last week, I'm struck with the very first words of the psalm that we're focusing on today. I see this word, and just like a five-year-old or three-year-old, like Tristan, I go, there's a bug, and I stop. I stop to ponder the beauty and the wonder and the miracle of that word. Today, the psalm begins with the phrase, O Lord, you have searched me and know me through and through. So let's all repeat that together. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me through and through. Again, O Lord, you have searched me and know me through and through. Now we're going to sing it. So Cadence is going to play the music, and Laurie is going to lead us in this. And throughout the sermon, we're coming back to this phrase. So we're going to be singing this a number of times. Again. Now, Psalm 139 is a sort of middling length psalm or poem by David. And there's a lot to unpack in the 24 verses, but let's stick for now with this little bit. I love it when a word appears repeatedly in a Bible passage. It jumps out at you. This is one of the things we do when we study the Bible, is we look at words that are repeated and carried over. They jump out at us and they say, hey, pay attention, this is important. There's something to see here. It's more than just a bug. Like the word search. Search is one of that first word, O God, you have searched me. And it appears several times in the early part of the psalm as we've just repeated it. So let's explore this word search as in, God, you have searched me and you know me through and through. Now, it might sound like a very simplistic thing, but sometimes when I get stuck on a word like this, when it's jumped out at me and say, hey, pay attention to me, I sneak over and leave my Bible over here and I go over to my dictionary. And the OED offers so much stuff. The Oxford English Dictionary offers us so many things and theological possibilities. The first meaning of search that the Oxford Dictionary offered me is to go through something or look through it carefully in order to find something that is missing or lost. The dictionary gives us a couple of examples. They searched the woods for the missing child. I searched the desk for the letter. So when David says to God, you have searched me, it could mean God has searched for me. This is, in fact, so much at the heart of the entire biblical story, both Old and New Testaments. We, the people of God, are constantly going astray, wandering off like sheep in the wilderness, getting lost, tangled in the brambles, maybe getting dangerously close to wolves. And sometimes those wolves are even in sheep's clothing. remember that David was a shepherd boy at heart, and like God, and God, like the good shepherd, spent a lot of time searching for lost sheep. Those sheep, us, are missing. They're lost. And God searches us, searches for us, seeking us out, bringing us back home to the flock, to safety and security. God does this carefully and mindfully and persistently, often because we, as we wander away, God searches for us to embrace us and love us. Remember the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd leaves the 99 so she can search out and find and bring home the lost one. So now we're going to sing our phrase again. Our second meaning of search, courtesy of the Oxford Dictionary, is to look at or examine someone or something carefully to find something that has been concealed. For example, he searched this vase for signs of a crack. The police searched the suspect for weapons. Now, I think this is one of the most common readings of the word search in this psalm. This is how often we persist and perceive it, and the one we go to most readily. And that's unfortunate in many ways, perhaps because it appeals to our guilty conscience, or we've done something bad, we're not as good as we pretend or hope to be, or perhaps we are just broken in more pieces than a teacup that's been dashed on the floor. We have this idea that something is hidden and we're concealing it, and God somehow is going to wheedle it out of us. So we put up a brave front, a virtuous front, but God sees through all that veneer, sees all that we're trying to conceal, sees the misery of our guilty conscience, and we're sorry that we're guilty and we're fearing, and we fear that we will be punished. But that, of course, is framed in this idea that God is out to get us. How many people have seen that sign that floated around forever and a day? It says, Jesus is coming, look busy. All that is grounded in this idea that somehow Jesus is going to catch us out. But of course, that suggests that God is maliciously out to catch us red-handed with our hands in the cookie jar. But what if it's not so much about catching us red-handed, but God knowing us through and through, with all our faults, all our mistakes, all our brokenness, all our sin, and that God still loves us? That is the divine difference, I think, between a malicious, punitive taskmaster who would revel in finding our faults, but the divine love that says, hey, I see all this stuff, I see all this crap, and I still love you. I don't love you in spite of it. I love you because of it. That is how God searches us. Let's sing our phrase again. By now you're seeing the pattern of this sermon, because now we come to a third meaning of search. It is to explore or examine in order to discover something. Now this sounds like the previous definition, but our trusty dictionary makes a subtle distinction. For example, they searched the hills for gold. Now in our previous definition of search, the idea was to find something that was concealed, like a secret. And to be sure, gold is usually concealed. But it's hardly characterized by shame or guilt, as we considered in the last definition. Here, I think the significant difference is the idea that there is a treasure, something to be celebrated and of great value that needs to be found. Instead of fault-finding, the objective is to reveal the good things that are hidden, perhaps unintentionally, perhaps intentionally, but clearly beyond our sight. God's goal here is to lift up, not to tear down, to celebrate, not diminish, to shed light rather than create shadow. So many of us, I think, have been raised not to blow our own horns, to hide our light under a bushel, to not be confident in our goodness and our worthiness. And we've been trained in this such a way that we shy away from such recognition. But false and forced modesty is as problematic as an overabundance of ego and self-aggrandizement. God searches for us for the best in us, for the gold that lurks within, and says always, "Behold, my beloved, you are a treasure. You are blessed, and you are a blessing." Let's sing this again. Our next definition of search is to look at or read or examine something, perhaps a record or a writing or a collection of some sort, for information. For example, to search a property title. He searched the courthouse to find a record of the deed to the land. Now again, there is not a huge distinction here. We're really getting into the weeds with the subtle nuances in all these meetings. But here again, there is a useful distinction. We are nothing if not complex creatures created in God's image, shaped by our experience and relationships, our knowledge, our education, our background, and so on. No two of us are exactly alike. Even so-called identical twins are not really identical for very long after they emerge from the womb. So I think when God searches us and knows us through and through, God is delving deep into our complexity, knowing us intimately for exactly who we are, with all our complexity and all our messiness. God examines us not just for our faults or not just for our gold, but just to know us deeply, personally, intimately, beyond what we can ask or imagine. And of course, that's a bit scary. Maybe it's a lot scary, because we're hesitant to have anyone know us that well. I think all of us have secrets from our most intimate relationships with our partners, with our parents, with our siblings, with our friends. We like to have that little corner of ourselves that is private, not because we necessarily have anything to be shameful of, or guilty of, or even that we have anything to boast of, but because we might just like to have something that is just ours. That's so human, and it seems perfectly reasonable and acceptable. Except God doesn't quite buy it, I think. Our relationship with God is such that God searches deep within us, not to make a list of who is naughty or nice, but simply from that essential nature of God that is in all things and through all things, and therefore is in us and through us in a good way. Let's sing our phrase again. So these are our four nuances of the word search in that first line of the psalm today. Searching for the lost, searching for the hidden, searching for the as yet to be discovered, and searching for depth and intimacy of relationship. And these are just the first four of about 10 subtle differences in the single word that that dictionary has offered up to me. I'm not going to push you through the other six. The distinctions become increasingly small and granular as we delve deeper and deeper and unpack, perhaps searching for meaning and revelation in Scripture. Now, I could have asked Lewis to just read that very first line, or maybe even just the first word, or maybe just that word. Lewis could have gone up and said, "Search," and then sat down. But no, he read the first 18 verses of this rather long psalm. I could have asked him to just do that one word or that phrase, but that would have been a serious misstep. Not just for missing Lewis's reading of the whole text, but because that one word, as much as it can say, requires the whole text. One word, one verse, one phrase, one parable in the Bible doesn't exist and cannot be understood without the entirety of the biblical witness with it. So while we've noodled about with this one word and played with some different meanings to see how God's presence may be revealed and understood through those meanings, the job is really now to take those meanings, this newfound knowledge, back to the psalm and dive even deeper. Imagine if we could take up this much time on a single word in a psalm. Imagine if we take up this much time on one word in a single psalm, the time it would require and the riches to be discovered to go through God's word so carefully. If only I had that sort of attention and discipline, and we had that much time. So notwithstanding my short attention span and my inclination to dwell like a five-year-old who has seen a bug, there's a lot to be discovered when we dwell and get distracted on that bug or a word, a single word in Scripture. We might discover the beauty and wonder and miracle in the passage we're reading. We might discover it in God. We might discover it in our relationship with the divine, or we might discover it all in ourselves. We might discover that in searching and being searched, we will find and we will be found. Amen. We're going to sing number 658 in the Red Book, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go."
That followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter. Seekest me through pain, I cannot close my eyes to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall liftest up my head. I dare not ask to fly from thee. blossoms red, life shall endless be.
Friends, please be seated. We come to our time of prayers of the people, where we lift up those things in gratitude or concern, joy and longing for our friends, for ourselves, for our community, and for the world. So I invite you, if you have a prayer that, or something or someone you'd like to mention in prayer, to please do so. Are you being bashful, or are you just being that there's absolutely nothing to be thankful for, or no concerns at all? Oh. I'm going to ask you to share it.
Our friends and family in this community and around the world.
Sandy says, our friends and family are in the community and around the world. And I think this is part of what we do in church, is we pray for the circle that is around us, our community, both here within these four walls, plus the community that's just beyond us, and the world, because that is what we are called to be, yeast in the world, in the loaf. So we hold up that generous prayer for all that is beyond here, and together we say, Amen. Amen. Kathy.
I would ask everyone to continue to pray for Larry's brother, JD, who is battling cancer, and the doctor has given him 1 year, but no one knows how long anyone else is going to stay on earth.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kathy. So we continue in prayer as we did last week, for Larry's brother, JD, who's now had a more difficult and precise diagnosis about his cancer and has been given a timeline of perhaps a year. But as Kathy notes, and as we know from Scripture and we know from our own experience, we don't know the time and we don't know the place of when our lives draw to an end. So with that knowledge and with thinking of JD and Larry, we hold them in prayer. We hold them in prayer, plus the doctors, the nurses, the caregivers, all those, and us, who care for others who are facing challenges health-wise and perhaps difficult diagnoses. Let's hold them all in prayer, and together we can say, Amen. Lillian.
I'm very happy that we live in Canada.
I think this is along the line of what you said last week, wasn't it? Didn't you give something? I think it was. Perhaps so, but I think it's very good that we live in Canada. And I think when we say that we're happy we live here, I think that's something to be grateful for, because the first and best prayer is always one of gratitude. We start from a place of gratitude. But with that gratitude, we also look out into the world and say, see the troubles that are around the world, and then say, okay, I'm blessed by being not with this trouble. How do I help others out of their troubled state? How do I help others with their troubles? And that can be in so many ways. I know that Rosedale has sponsored many refugees, and you have programs here that serve the disadvantaged. So it's mindful of how do we transform that gratitude for being blessed, turn it into blessings for others. And with that prayer, together we can say, Amen. Amen. So we'll continue in prayer. Friends, we continue in prayer. Holy God, receive our prayers this morning. Prayers for others, prayer for ourselves, prayers for the world. O Holy One, your grace is needed so desperately in so many places, in so many hearts, in countries where strife and war have taken root, in attitudes of violence and abuse, In politics, where empty slogans and name-calling replace honest debate and policy and respect. In homes that are broken through anger and misunderstanding. In hearts that are hardened by bigotry and hatred. In souls that are crushed by grief, isolation, and depression. In stomachs that ache with hunger and malnutrition. In an environment broken by waste and pollution. Yet in all this, we are reminded that you, O God, bring us the wonder of beauty and grace and forgiveness that compels us to work with you to create a world of peace and justice and solace. Amen. When Jesus' friends, his first disciples, the disciples that were there when we became disciples, when those disciples asked Jesus, "How should we pray?" Jesus said, "Use these simple words, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For ours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." One of the little traditions we have here at Rosedale is offering things and a connection with what we've heard today and what's going through our lives. And last week, if you were here, many of you got little disco bracelets, little glow-in-the-darks, and they've probably petered out by now. Today we're going to do something a little different because the sermon and the reflection was all about one word. And many of you might remember that the opening words in John's Gospel is, "In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." So what I'm going to invite you to do is we have Post-it notes. And I'm going to hand out Post-it notes and pencils, and I'm going to invite you to write a word that is meaningful for you today. Now, right off the bat, you can't use the word search, because that was my word. Okay, so you have to come up with your own word. Okay, and I'm going to invite you to take this, and when you're ready, just come up and put it here so that we have a whole bunch of these. Okay? And I'm going to ask Cadence if she can play some music as we reflect on this. And give it a bit of thought. Take your time. If you miss your bus, there will be another bus along in 15 minutes. Okay? So, a word. Sure, go ahead. I'll put it up for you if you want. So it's rather neat, all these little bits of pink paper. I've not looked at them. I'll look at them later. They're anonymous because I haven't been keeping track of who put what where. But if you're here next week, I might incorporate some of the words that you said. The gospel tells us the word is God and the word was with God and the word is with us. Not just simple words like search, not these simple words here as well, but all the words that encompass us. Because what we bring forward today is not just a simple word on a pink piece of paper, but ourselves. And we offer ourselves, our words, and our treasures to nourish this community of faith so we can take God's word into the world. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts. These are the gifts and the blessing for the world. And together we can say amen. And our closing hymn is number 420 in the Red Book. Go to the world. This is a mission statement. Read the words carefully, and this is your job.
Go to the world. Go into all the earth. Go preach the cross where Christ life's worth, baptizing as the sign of our rebirth. Alleluia, alleluia. Go to the world, go into every place. Go seek God's presence in each time and space. Alleluia, alleluia. Go to the world, go struggle, bless and pray. The nights of tears give joyous day. As servant Christ, you follow Christ's own way. Alleluia, alleluia. Go to the world, go as the ones I send.
Please remain standing for our benediction and commissioning. This is in your order of service. It's responsive because we bless each other and we send each other out into the world to do God's work. Friends, you have been called by God. How will you answer? Created in God's image, we will go into the world to love others as God loves us. Friends, you have been called by Christ. How will you answer? Blessed by Jesus' grace, we will share his good news, feeding the hungry, nurturing the sick, comforting the lonely, and embracing the outcast. Friends, you have been called by the Spirit. How will you answer? Inflamed by the Spirit's power, we will be all that God longs for us to be, a Pentecost people in God's beloved creation. Then may we go knowing that we are blessed by God's love, blessed by the grace of Jesus, and blessed by the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And together the people of Christ can say, Amen. Amen.